Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you get notifications when the next episode drops. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Unpacking with Jennifer. I know I am a broken record when I say this, but I have an amazing guest today. Her name is Hillary. I'm going to let her introduce herself because we'll talk about how we meet, but because I talk so much, I need at least have her say hello.
Hello.
This is Hillary. We met a couple months ago through a networking group. So you talk about that for a minute and just sure. Talk about the networking group for just a couple seconds and then how and what you do and all of those amazing things. But that's how we met. And she's amazing, you guys. She's awesome. She is very, very talented, very, very good at what she does, but she's also very warm and inviting. And those are things that it's nice to have a conversation with. And I want you guys to, you know, obviously if you need anything, you'll get the information, but let's have a great conversation and just hear her story and how we met and how long you've been in that networking group.
So I've been in SCV Premier for about a year and a half, and it's industry exclusive, which means that, you have professionals from all different businesses and one of each, if you will. We're always looking to grow the group, but I was invited in because the realtor space opened up, which is rare. There are a lot of us realtors out there.
There are a lot of realtors. So
I was super excited. It was a warm invitation from someone I've known for a really long time. And the minute I went to the first meeting, I knew this was the group for me. They are an incredible group, very warm and inviting, which definitely is my vibe. And it's just, I find myself looking forward to each meeting, having so much fun, lots of laughter, and learning so much about what everybody does. And the referrals are crazy good.
And I feel like, and I'm my toe is just barely in the pool of this networking group, but I feel it is truly a family with these people. And yes. Everybody is very excited to talk about, you know, what you do, or refer you, or, you know what I mean? You're very excited to refer to this because you know that they're good. And it's this really great, like just, you know, woven kind of thing that I can't wait to jump into. I know I'm still new. And I already had one of the people is actually going to use my services, which I'm very excited about. And they're fantastic, but it's like, we're all looking out for each other.
Oh, 100%.
But because you believe it, not just mm-hmm. because you're doing it.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? You're not just checking off like, oh, okay, I referred two people this week or whatever.
That's right.
And that's what I love. You see with you guys. I mean, I'm on the backside of it just watching, but it is really special to how you guys all help each other.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, I have chosen not to be part of networking groups for most of my career, specifically because I was busy raising a family and juggling work full time. But time is precious. It's so, so important to utilize it well. And like I said, I look forward to going to these. This is the first networking group I've ever committed to.
Me too.
and I have zero regrets in that. I'm so, so happy to be part of this group. They are a very professional, loving bunch for sure.
And we may hear, and you know, as another guest, I may bring some other amazing people on there, but I wanted to talk to you. Obviously you're in real estate, but I want to hear a little bit, and you have your own, it sounds like a really just awesome, you know, networking and your business, and you're so busy and everyone's just so, you're doing your thing. But how did you get into real estate?
Absolutely. So believe it or not, I graduated from fashion school.
Okay.
Oh, Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I, well, that doesn't matter. Okay, I want to hear about you. Yeah, I did too. That's so funny.
So I went to FITM down in LA and I studied merchandise marketing. I've always loved trends and my goal was to be a fashion forecaster. Like, and I love journalism. So pairing the two, I graduated high school, thought it was journalism, went into fashion school, learned about marketing, knew I never wanted to become a department store buyer or do anything like that. But I definitely wanted to get into publication and fashion and trends. Flash forward, the jobs in the industry were rough. I worked for like $7 an hour off 7th and Alameda downtown. And
which the commute is great.
Oh my gosh. I'd leave at like 6 in the morning to get there at 9.
And you shoot yourself slowly.
And then I'd stay. Yeah. And then I'd stay till like 7 o'clock at night.
To hopefully miss that traffic.
Though some of my best thinking was in the car because there were plenty hours in the car. But it was tough. It was tough. And I realized that industry was not for me. And so I ended up, instead of working in LA, I ended up looking for a job in Santa Cruz. And so I had found a job doing window dressing and things along those lines in Santa Cruz. And at the same time was renting an apartment in Valencia from Equity Residential.
Oh, wow.
Skycrest Apartments back in the day. And I remember on my day off seeing these girls on this golf cart, super happy, like happy in life, driving this golf cart in the community. And I just remember, honestly, like you can picture the scene of this girl looking out the window and just wanting that. Like I wanted to be happy. I just was not happy in the career choices I had made. And so I went down to the leasing office because I knew the girls worked for the apartment community. And so I went down to the leasing office and asked what they do and if they had any openings as far as the girls on the golf carts. And they said, yes. In fact, we have one leasing consultant and she just put in her notice. And we would love it if you applied.
That's like the moment you're like, this is meant to be.
It was.
Isn't it funny how those moments can happen? Like,
absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I feel like in life, the universe, you know, opens up some doors, but you got to be willing and you got to be willing to see them. And you have to be willing to also walk through those doors, right? So many of us see the opportunity, but then, you know, keep ourselves back.
We do. We hold ourselves back.
We do. We do. For many reasons.
A lot of times it is financial, though, I feel, because you're like, maybe you're in a job that pays okay, and you're like, but if I branch off,
it was scary.
It's scary.
It's scary and different, right? It's absolutely scary. So I applied, and I got the job, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, nice.
I loved it, loved it, loved it. I had an incredible property manager that I worked under. She was a great mentor, still a friend to this day.
Nice.
And I'm a grower and not of anything weird. Like I'm a girl.
Not a shower.
There's no crops to be had. Hillary's not growing crops. But what I am is I have a growth mindset. I continually like to challenge myself and grow and grow and grow. And so of course, after a couple years, I wanted to grow again. So I got a job as a leasing director over at Promenade at Town Center, which was a bigger community. And then I would oversee multiple leasing consultants.
Nice.
And I still loved it. More responsibility, and I still loved it. But what was tough was the hours. I again, came in super early to get paperwork done, you know, off the clock, worked my full day, and stayed later to finish the paperwork. And at the time, I was married and still am to the same person, but married, no kids. And I really wanted to start a family. It was super important to me to start a family. And so I decided that if I got my real estate license, if I love this industry so much, if I love to put people in homes, whether it be apartments, you know, at that time else, if I loved it so much, this career was for me, but how could I grow again? And how could I be able to make my own schedule and start a family, right? And not have to report to a specific office at a certain time. And so that's what happened. So I went to night school. So back in the day, so I've been licensed 20 years.
Oh gosh, good job.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you. So night school was a thing at Realty Executives on Lyons Avenue. And I took night school to do all of the hours to get ready for the real estate exam.
Wow, good for you.
While I was working full time. And then took, you have options when you take your real estate exam. I don't know why, maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but I chose to go down to the LA Convention Center to take mine. It was offered, I think, in Santa Barbara in a smaller venue. It was, and I'm like,
heck. Like, you know what? I'm going to go down to LA again because I want to be in all. I want to try to get on the freeway down there by the convention center because that's always fun.
While I'm really stressed and have to pass this exam.
Trying to remember everything.
Do or die. And it was all or nothing, right? It was all or nothing. So I decided to do it. And I swear you not, there was probably over 1,000 of us there that day taking this test. And just rows and rows of 6-foot tables with the exam placed down and a number 2 pencil. And you walked until everybody stopped. And then you sat down in your designated chair, you know, test in front of you, number 2 pencil.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about stress, right?
Oh my gosh.
And I did it. And I passed. And at the time, they do it differently now. Now you get the results, I think, that day is what I hear. They hand you an envelope and you walk outside and you find out if you passed or not. In this time, they mailed it to you. So you had to wait. You had to wait. I think it was
like standing at the mailbox
6
every
weeks
day.
Or something.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
And you're waiting for that paper in the mail. And so I passed, and the next step to that was getting fingerprinted for my license. And so I took my lunch break from the apartments and went and got fingerprinted. And the day I did, I wasn't feeling that great. And so I decided to go to Target and grab a pregnancy test.
There we go.
And literally, I found out that day that I was pregnant.
So I love it.
So my entire career has been selling real estate, helping clients find their homes and making their dreams happen, but also raising a family. The two have been in line from day one.
My gosh.
And I regret nothing.
And it's all buttoned up. Uh-huh. Like that was, oh my gosh. Uh-huh. How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two.
Yeah.
How old are they?
I have a 19-year-old daughter and I have a 16-year-old son.
Nice. Good job.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, it was, you know, there's just things in the universe. Like sometimes we feel how I see it. Sometimes we feel down like, oh man, everything. But sometimes the universe, just a little door will open somewhere, like
that's
you said, and you're just like, fuck it. I'm just going to see what's going on there.
100%.
And you did.
I did.
You did do that. And
I did. I wanted joy, honestly. Like
yeah.
I wanted joy. I'm a very joyful person. I just wanted to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not exactly the same, but I went to fashion school. I was not creative. I was not the design, but I wanted to do visual merchandising and or be a buyer.
Okay.
I absolutely loathe Excel spreadsheets. And they're like, you know, this is 99.9% Excel. This is back then. This is a while ago.
No,
you know?
Of course.
Now it probably still is, but a different capacity. And I was like, maybe I'll just go more with a visual. And I did. I did, you know, part-time real estate. I did part-time retail jobs where I did the windows or I did this and I was learning and I had mentors and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to fashion school and I got my associates at the time, you know, visual merchandising.
Yep.
And I was really excited about it, really pumped about it, really excited. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go get my bachelor's and I'm going to do it in visual. And then I thought about it and I was like, that's a small niche. Like, I don't know that I want to do... I also thought I was going to move to New York and work in one of the houses, right? I was
going
to be
a
house. So I went to New York. One of my lifelong friends, Erica, she actually was on the podcast a couple weeks ago. She was living out there at the time. I was like, I want to go down. She was living on Long Island. So I was like, I want to go down in New York City. I'm grown up here my whole life in the Valley.
Yep.
Okay. I want to go. I want to walk by. I want to do all the New York things. I want to carry a tote and I'm going to go. And we were down there and I still wanted to see touristy stuff. But as I was walking, I'm like, there's no way I could live here. It's way too aggressive. There's no fucking way. There's no way.
It's the city that never sleeps.
You know what I mean? I'm just walking across the street. I was stressed.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So anyways, cut to, I was going to do this. I ended up doing a merchandising job at a golf store as kind of like my first introduction to actually doing 100% being, you know, pay was shit, whatever. But I got to travel. I wanted to travel to different stores. That was my thing.
Right.
So I had an area, maybe eight stores at the time. And somehow I ended up in athletic sportswear, which I loved because you also had men in working with men. And I don't mean that in a weird way, but you work with a lot of women. Sometimes it's not the nicest environment. Sometimes we're little bitches, right? Or a little bitchy, I should say. And it was nice and, you know, interacting. All retail is usually, you know, typically women. And I went in that. And then I progressed my career, my previous career, until I had my daughter. Corporate retail environments.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So visual presentation and space planning.
Yep.
Never thought that's what I was going to do.
Sure.
And then I didn't want to answer to anyone anymore when I had my daughter. She's 9.
Kids change everything.
Kids change everything. And for the best, because I was always scared. All the things that you thought you were going to do, okay, I'm going to move up the corporate ladder. I never did. I did all the boxes. I checked off everything. And there was always somebody else or someone got the promotion or someone was brought in or some friend knew somebody. And I kept doing it with different companies. The last company was a great company. Mm-hmm. But then I was pregnant and I was like, there's no way. And I was driving over into El Segundo.
Oh, yeah.
Garden Grove.
The drive will do it.
And I was like 2 hours each way.
Right.
And I'm like, how am I going to do that with a brand new baby? You only get 12 weeks, right? I'm 6 weeks in going, oh, and that's how I started. But I wouldn't have done that. She changed everything, just my mindset.
Yep.
Just really aligned it. And now I can do other things and be, my own. But not to take away from your thunder.
You're your own boss. And yeah. I do think kids help us find our path. They do. They're the motivators of a lot. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I being a mom is probably one of the hardest jobs I've ever done,
100%.
But one of the most rewarding. I wouldn't ever want it to be different.
I know. It's so amazing. And it's just so amazing. And I do think things align that way. When I realized I was pregnant, I was like, okay, now I really have to figure something out a little
That's
different.
Right.
And that was, what was really special. And I think you looking at the golf cart, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, I could honestly.
You're like, how many people do I see in golf carts all the time? Probably a million. But that moment, that time.
It was that moment and I can still picture it to this day.
I love it.
It's vivid. It's a vivid memory of mine and a huge motivator to what compelled me to change industries completely upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like balls to the wall. I'm doing this.
Yeah, I knew nothing.
Yep.
I knew nothing about any of it.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. Do you only do Santa Clarita area, or do you do all, over, right?
I go anywhere the client needs me.
There we go.
I do. I'd say in the past couple years, I've traveled the most. I've had listings in Huntington Beach, Pico Rivera, Santa Paula. I feel like every outskirt possible and I love it. And I go wherever the client needs me specifically because I'm that person they trust. And so I will learn the area. I will learn what the best schools are, what things draw people to the area. I do a lot of investigation before the listing to make sure that I am the local area expert, knowing that I'm not from that area specifically. So that's really important to me. And I think that makes the client really happy as well because I'm ultimately selling their home. And there's, the home is one part of selling the home, right? The actual physical home is one part of it.
Yeah.
People also are specifically wanting to be in a certain area because of the schools and this and that. So it's really important to be knowledgeable about all of that. And I've had really, really good success in traveling beyond Santa Clarita for sure. But I'd say, Santa Clarita is where I was raised and where I met my husband and where we started our family. So Santa Clarita definitely has my roots.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go everywhere.
Now, is your husband, is he in the industry too, or is he in a college?
No, but I tell him every day he should get his license. Oh, he's so good. He's he's amazing. We've been together 30 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, not married 30, but together 30, and he's my rock. It's a wild industry, and he's definitely my rock.
So nice.
I'm thankful for him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you have and support and all of those things that you need,
having the support at home. I do think we'd make one heck of a team, but he has zero interest in getting his real estate license.
Sure, sure, I know.
I've tried.
Now, do you feel like right now, I know the market is kind of weird right now and maybe it's getting, it's always like this. It's always a roller coaster.
It ebbs and flows, girl. It ebbs and flows. And, but I started, so in 2005, when I got licensed, the market was hot. It was amazing. You could sell homes so quickly and so easily. But I had no idea. I had no idea. I did not know what I was doing. I had no idea. So I didn't thrive in that market. I learned. I actually worked for a top producing agent to learn the ropes while I was pregnant with my daughter. I wanted to go into the industry educated and informed and really feeling like I was knowing, I knew what I was doing. And so where I thrived was when the market took a shit.
Yes. Remember that?
Yeah.
The whole economy took a shit.
That's when I thrived, honestly, is I got short sale and foreclosure certified. I had really good people that surrounded me that I could go to for questions and support. And I thrived in that market. I helped so many people, you know, save their homes or, you know, lessen the impact. And that was incredible. So I do feel like the sky's the limit because I started in what was a very, very tough market. And so when the market over the years, when the market has improved and done better, I'm like, wow, this is what it feels like. Like, that's amazing. Cause I'm used to the grind and the hard work and not to say those markets don't have that as well, but I thrive in challenging situations. And so, you know, I'm ready for any of these markets. And yes, we're back into more of a challenging market, honestly. I've used that word multiple times in this, but yeah, we're back there,
but I think,
in a different way.
But I think too, and to kind of piggyback on your point is sometimes you do your best work when you're in a challenging situation instead of when it's like handed to you.
That's right.
And I don't mean that, you know, these people are just walking up going, please sell my house or here, I'm going to buy this house. And you're just like at the grocery store and you're like, oh good, I just made a sale.
Yeah.
I mean, but really kind of having to kind of work for it in
Absolutely.
A different capacity. Think outside the box.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, 100% think outside the box.
Think outside the box. And I think that sometimes I do my best stuff under like time pressure or different pressures that
yes.
I have with my own stuff. But let me ask you this, because especially in California, I know other areas too, but let's just say Southern California, because that's where we are. Not even specifically this area. Let's just
sure.
say it's saturated with real estate agents.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone thinks they can be a real estate agent. And I do not believe that is a true story because you do have to work. You do have to work for it.
There are a lot of us. There are a lot of us, especially here in Santa Clarita. We're definitely saturated with realtors. A lot of good ones. A lot of good ones. And I love that for the purpose of networking and helping each other out. I think that Santa Clarita is just small enough to be able to have those connections with other top producing agents. And
do you feel it's competitive? Do you feel that?
Absolutely.
Do you feel like
absolutely
where people?
And I'm honored to be interviewed up against other top producing agents. I mean, to me, I'm still humble and love interviewing for the job and not assuming that I get it, but. I would say 95% of my business is referral.
I love it.
So I've not really interviewed for a listing in a long time because I get so many referrals from friends, family,
That's
past
amazing.
Clients, yeah. returning clients that are now ready to make another move. So, you know, I go into these appointments a lot warmer than cold. But I tell my kids that all the time, you know, when they get nervous about things, you know, that they have to do for the first time. I'm like, guys, every single day I'm interviewing, you know, I'm being interviewed, if you will, for a job. So you talk about butterflies, right? I mean,
yeah.
You can be in the business however long and you still, you know, sometimes may get those butterflies. So it's a good, it keeps you humble, and it's a good learning lesson for my kiddos too, just to remind them that, you know, don't get too comfortable and complacent in life. You
yes.
know, be willing to take
that's
those
actually
chances.
Very true too, because even though like I know that I am very, very good at my job,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're very, very good at your job.
Yes.
People may, and even if you got a referral, yeah, they're trusting that person that they know, maybe there's family, maybe you've helped them and they've referred you and you believe that. But they also don't know. I mean, they're going by, you
well,
know.
Well, that's right. And I never go into those appointments assuming anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a warmer appointment,
yep.
right?
Yep.
It's absolutely warmer. You know, they've heard really good things about me and it's a much warmer appointment. But I never go in assuming, you know. I have to earn their business just the same. So I definitely come in with that mindset.
100%. And, you know, because in my head, I'm like, all the things you're saying, I do all those things, even though I may be a referral as well. Cause most of my business now, I've been doing this. My daughter's 9, so it's been 9 years.
Yeah, there you go.
In May. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And same thing though. Like I do most of my business now is referrals, which I'm so blessed for. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I still go out there and go to, a Absolutely. Random, event or whatever and, chit chat. I love it. I love to talk about what I do. But I don't take it for granted. I don't go in there going, this is in the bag.
That's right.
Especially if it's like a big project. Some of it, I'll work for somebody for 3 months because mm-hmm. maybe they're getting their house ready.
That's right.
And then they're going to move and then I'm going to set up their house. So it's a process. I love that about you because you don't assume, you're mm-hmm. humble. And I do feel that way too because I have come across, other people in just all industries, all areas of industries, especially in the course of my life. And sometimes I see that they just have that aura like, oh, I got this, mm-hmm. And it's like, right. Take a moment because I want my daughter to know that not everything is just easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
That's
know what
right.
I mean?
And I think confidence and arrogance are two different things.
Yes, 100%.
I think they're two different things. You can go into an appointment confident, but you don't have to go into it with arrogance, assuming that, they need you more than you need them. I think there's a balance there and listening to people's needs and wants and desires. Like listening is a key part of my business. I mean, and I know yours. It's so important to 100%. Seek out, what's the motivator? Like what caused them to bring you in today, right? Like yes. What do they need? What do they want? What when they close their eyes, what do they envision happening? And then it's our job as professionals to execute it and execute it as seamlessly as we can, as stress-free as possible.
Yes.
But that's why they're hiring us,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And so just remembering that we've got to stay focused on what they're trying to achieve. It's not about us. It's about them.
Yes. Yes. And I will humbly say in the beginning, I would get a little frustrated, not necessarily there in front of their eyes, but like I'd get in the car and I'd be like, I don't understand why they don't just get rid of stuff.
Sure.
Like they want me to help them get rid of stuff. They won't do it.
Right.
But then I started to really open my eyes to—
Peel the layers?
Yes. I really was peeling the layers. And when I say this was like brand new, like the first couple months of mm-hmm. helping, my first few clients, I'm like, well, you want me to help you get rid of stuff so we can make this look nice? And then I'm like, just get rid of it. And then I see there's a whole mental thing about it. And I had to educate myself
Absolutely.
In a different capacity and all these things. But I humbled myself because I was like, I got this. And then I'm like, we're spending an hour separating nail polishes. You know what I mean? Like, and you go get your nails done.
Right.
You don't take those nail polishes.
Right.
Why are we bothering? In my head, but they're not ready. So there's certain things that I was like, oh, okay, I have to remember, this is not about me.
Right.
And that's one thing, because in the beginning, I'm just going to go in and be like, oh, here you go,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like that. And, there's moments where I had to kind of eat a little bit of humble pie. and I'd sit in my car and be like, damn it. And then I'm like, you know what? And then once I realized, I'm like, it is about what they want and it is what's comfortable for them.
Absolutely.
And same with you, what they feel comfortable. And one of the things about you that I've noticed, and I think that's why it was just easy talking to you when I first started the group, is you are very warm.
Thank you.
Very warm. And so I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you go into your clients, one of the things that you can pride yourself on is kind of relating to them.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. And I, there's nothing fake about me as far as what you see both inside, what you see is what you get. And so when I started in real estate, I'd roll up in my minivan. I was this working mom trying to juggle and balance what was at that time a newborn. And then obviously, in time there were two, and I never felt like there was an image I had to project. It was, I care, this is who I am, and I'm here for you. And this is the service that I'm going to provide you to help you reach your goals. And that's really kept me centered over the years, is being real.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Being relatable, treating everybody equally, no matter the circumstance. It's super important to me.
Yeah, and 100%. You just have that inviting, there's just meeting you in the group, I just was like, there's you could just gravitate to certain people, and I was like, she's really warm and
Thank you.
Inviting and not Nobody in that group is not cold. They're none of them are really cool, but just a little bit different levels. So I think with real estate, and to me, you know, again, it's a personal thing. It's homes. You're talking about people's lives, where they're going to be.
And life savings, honestly.
And all these things. And I think you have this really special, because there are so many real estate agents. There's so many real estate agents that I have worked, you know, clients, or I know people, and this, not everybody is cut out for it. And I think that you having 20 years of success following all these things, I think is really special. And also you're relatable. And I know a lot of the TV shows, I don't watch anything reality, just as a side note, nothing reality. I hate reality shows, but I will say this. I have seen snippets at people's houses of like the $1 million listings.
Right.
And I'm like, that doesn't even seem comfortable. And no. I guess if, you know, but again, it's a show. So I'm sure there's some fluff to it, but it's like, I wouldn't want to even talk to these people I would feel like my language wasn't even like, you know, I'd be like, I need to go get an English Oxford dictionary to talk to you.
Cause
everything's so like, you know,
It's so crazy because the picture that they paint is, you know, they step out of the, you know, it's realtor to realtor, you know, making a negotiation face to face, and they step out to call the client, and then they do a handshake deal and that's it. And then they show, you know, how much they've earned. Oh my, that is not the process. We will unpack that another day, but that is not how this works.
Part two is coming, guys. Yes. Part two will be coming.
This is not at all how it works whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So yeah, don't trust what you see on TV.
That is, yeah, because I'm like, I would feel so uncomfortable, and it's so nice. You know, one of the things, one time I was doing a consultation, and I still do consultations, but a lot of times time-wise, I realize that I just have people take pictures of like the really bad, like just give me an overview shot and I can kind of gauge it. But one time I was doing a consultation, I literally ran from a client, and I'm in like, you know, leggings and a t-shirt or whatever, because I'm in the grind in a garage or something.
Right.
And the first thing she said to me, because I don't like showing up, you know, and I'm like, I'm really sorry. And she goes, you know what? The last two people I've had here, they came in like suits to organize my house. She's like, I felt like that was just,
yes.
She goes, what you're wearing is what I'm going to wear when I'm doing this with you, or if I'm helping you. And I was just like, oh, because I was like sweaty and, you know, just, it was just terrible. I'm like trying to brush my hair in the car. And I was like, she's like, you already are relatable, because why are you're going to organize my house and you're wearing like a business suit? And it just felt uncomfortable. She goes, that's not who I am.
Yes.
She goes, for somebody else, that could be exactly what they're looking for.
That's right.
A different market, whatever. But I thought that was funny, because in my head I was dying. I'm like, God, I'm just coming from a smelly garage.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I have to add to it. I have to, because you have to dress to who you are and what you do. Right. But within the level of comfort, that still makes you feel like you're in your own skin.
Yes.
Years ago, many moons ago, I was in a class with fellow realtors. It was a training, and I got talking to a realtor from the San Fernando Valley, and he was in this full suit, and we got to talking, and he said, you know, I've been door knocking, I've been going around the neighborhoods, and you know, it's so hot in this suit and I'm so uncomfortable. And I was like, do you feel like a suit represents you? Like, is that who you are as a person? Like, how does that make you feel when you put that suit on? And he's like, I hate it. And I was like, then don't wear one. You should look professional, but you should wear what makes you comfortable. So when you knock on those doors, you're more confident. And this is just realtor to realtor helping each other. Well, I'd say, you know, 10 years, 11 years later, I just had a transaction with that agent. And he's like, do you know, this day I've never put on another suit?
See?
And I was like, oh my gosh, you took my advice. He's like, I did. He's like, my wife might hate it because I look great in a suit.
She'll never see me
again.
He's
like, do you remember that conversation? I was like, of course I do. He's like, I've not put on a suit since that day. And when I tell you, like, I was the realtor, showed up in the minivan, you know, I had my ballet flats and a pair of jeans and, you know, a nice sweater, not a sweatshirt, but I, you know, or blouse, something like that. But I was this working mom. You know, it's not till the recent years that I've even been able to like slide my feet in a pair of heels yes. and maybe curl my hair, because listen, I've got a 19 and 16 year old who dress themselves, make their own lunches, get themselves to work and school. I'm very lucky now that we made it this far.
Yeah.
And so I have a little more time for myself, but sure. Hillary for many, many, many years was winging it, hair tossed up, you know, yep. slide those ballet flats on yeah. And go.
And
it
go.
It was a level of comfort and time. So I'm not going to lie. It's been kind of fun to be able to curl my hair every now and again.
And dress a little, you know, put on some shoes that are, you know.
Absolutely. And feel good. But yeah. Yeah. So, you know, real life is real life, guys. Like, be who you are. That's so important to be who you are, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple instances where I went to a client's house. One time I did a consultation. I'll never forget this. Charlotte was... She was little. She was still in the wearer. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing a consultation. And I'm like, I didn't have anybody. And I asked, I said, can I bring her? She's going to be sleeping. She was so little. She was sure. probably like 3 months old, you know. Sure. And she's like, of course. And Charlotte was with me the whole time. And I was embarrassed. In my head, I was embarrassed. I'm like, I don't want to be a person, a new mom who's like, oh, I can't. And it wasn't. It was just I didn't have anybody. And she really wanted me to come. And I was like, if I can bring her. She's mm-hmm. like, she's in the wearer. She's like, who cares? And when she said that, she's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You have a child. I have children. Like, it's fine. And I was like, okay. And there's been a couple instances where Charlotte, you know, maybe didn't want to go to school. She maybe wasn't feeling good. Not sick, like fever, contagious, mm-hmm. but like, you know, she had a tummy ache or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to cancel on you.
Right.
But can I bring Charlotte?
Sure.
She can have her tablet and just lay on the couch. And I was embarrassed saying that. But then they're like, this is your life.
That's right.
And I was like, okay. This is my life. So there's certain things like, yeah, now, I mean, she still needs mommy a lot, but and that'll change. And
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I embrace it now. But there are moments where she's at school
right.
and I get to put a couple layers of makeup on and look like I didn't just open my eyes and maybe take the crust out. So, yeah. So it's just, I love talking to you. I love hearing stories where it just is like a meant to be, like you're not like, I was going to be a doctor. This is what I was going to do. And like you went to fashion school. I went to fashion school,
yes,
you know, like
yes.
and different paths, but still. And it's nice to hear that you have so much success and you're just a really awesome person. You're
Thank
an
you.
Awesome human. A couple things before we wrap up, because I know you guys, I swear to you, time goes so fast when you're chit-chatting. I love to talk. And I love to hear other people's stories because they're relatable, right? They're relatable. We're all, you know, most of us are working and a lot of us have kids and, you know, whatever. So those are things I enjoy. But I want to say two things. One is, how do we contact you? Obviously, we also put it on the actual podcast. Your link will be there if anybody has any questions or if there's anybody that you know, how do we get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Well, you can text me, call me. My number is 661-313-2591. But I am on Instagram as well, and it would be Hillary Blaha Realtor. And you can, you know, send
the link
me
will
a
be,
message.
Yeah, and the link will be on the podcast. So if you guys, especially, you know, if you're, I don't want to say in this area, all over, but, you know, if this is right in your neighborhood, if it's something that you know, there's a lot to choose from and, you know, you're listening to somebody who has the experience and has the warmth and the realism that you know, it's just easy to talk to. And that's when you feel comfortable in a lot of these situations. You feel comfortable. This is a big thing, you know, your home, your savings, your money, all of this. And she takes it like it's her own. And
100%.
You know,
Thank
it's
you.
Yours.
Yes.
You bite it, you take it, and you feel when the things don't go aligned as quickly as you'd like. You feel all the things, the hiccups along the way, because I'm sure there are some. And then it comes out smelling like a beautiful rose.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, always. We find our way. We find our way. Sometimes it's a wild ride to get there. But the biggest thing is to communicate with the client, right? So there's no surprises, to help them understand, to come up with solutions and present the solutions rather than the problem, you know. And set some realistic expectations, you know. It's really important to do that. So it's definitely been a good path, and there's no stopping anytime soon.
No.
I love what I do. I love helping people. And so yeah, thank you for having me on here.
Of course.
It's been so much fun.
I absolutely love talking to you. And we will do a part two.
Awesome.
Because we can tell stories forever. I would love to tell stories, but thank you so much for being here, Hillary. Thank you. And thank you guys for listening to, you know, another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. Like, subscribe, follow. How do you hear about a new episode if you don't do that? So that's what I say. So thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.